And Lord, we pray for this city, the state, Washington, and just pray, Lord, that you would intervene in each life, stop the mouths of the critics and those trying to destroy this country. And Lord, we just pray for your will in each thing. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Turn to John chapter 6. Continuing a study through John, we're in John 6:31. I want to show you some of the things about Christ's titles. And I don't know how much further we'll go after that due to time constraints tonight with all that we've got going on. But in John 6, let me read a couple of verses. 6:31 is where I want to start. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, and I need to make sure I'm on, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Let's go ahead and look at a couple of the verses. I want to start with verse 32 on the titles of Christ. It says that he is the true bread. John 6:32, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father, present tense, giveth you the true bread from heaven. And that was Jesus Christ right there in the flesh. He was the true bread and is the true bread. When you look at, I'll tell you what, go to John 1. Let me show you another one about Jesus, what it says about him and his titles. He says, I am the way, the truth, and life, you know, in John 14. But I want you to look at John 1:9. He says, that was the true light, capital L, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The true light. That's what Jesus is. He's not only the true bread from heaven, but he's the true light. And, you know, people don't understand who Jesus is. Well, he's the true light. There are many false lights or things that claim to be the light, but the true light is Jesus Christ. Now go to John 15. Let me show you the third one. He says he's the true vine. Now, why does he keep saying the true bread, the true light, the true vine? Because Satan is an imposter. And that's what he does. John 15:1, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. I am the true vine. And then the Father's the husbandman. So they're all three in one, God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son. But he's the true vine, the true light, the true bread. I mean, how can you miss that? How can you read your Bible and look at those things and say, who is Jesus or how important is Jesus? Well, he's true. He embodies everything. And look at John chapter 6 again. Go back over there. We'll look at a couple more verses here in John 6. Because this is talking about the bread again in verse 33. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. He gives life unto the world. I can't imagine what my life would have been apart from Jesus Christ. I am who I am because of him. He changed everything about me. Now, not to say that I didn't fail and didn't get away from him and have served him diligently every day of my life. I haven't. But he changed it. He made so much of a change, so much of an impact that even during the 3 years I got away from him, I knew He was real. I knew I was saved. I knew I had eternal security. I knew all those things. I just had lost my zeal and my love and my first love. And the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. That's why I love Him. I mean, I want to serve Him all my days. I want to go out of this earth and whether it's the rapture or the grave, knowing that I have given my life to the Savior. He gave His life for me. What can we do? Well, He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12. Well, let's present our bodies a living sacrifice. Let's look at who He is. He's the true bread from heaven. He's the true light, the true vine, the bread of God. Look at John 6:35, a few verses later. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now you say, well, I get thirsty, and I'm thirsty right now. Take a drink of water. But that's not what it's talking about. He can quench your thirst, your spiritual thirst. He can quench your spiritual need. He doesn't take care of all your physical needs that you think you need. He takes care of all the ones that He knows you need. But He doesn't just say, well, I'm going to give you a blank check. Just write it however you will and you can get anything you want. No, that's not the way it works. Look at verse 48. He says it again, just encapsulated. I am that bread of life. So He says in verse 35, I am the bread of life. But then He says, I am that bread of life. As though He's emphasizing it. Like when He's talking to Peter and He says, you know, lovest thou me? And He says, feed my sheep, feed my lamb. He asks him three times, do you love me? And it's not that agape and phileo love. If you've ever heard that in the Greek, it's just that doesn't work. You go and you look at the Greek and you look at phileo and you look at agape, and one applies to God and the other one applies to your love for others. And then if I gave you a test, and this is what we've done, and I said, all right, tell me, is that love for God? Is that the love agape or phileo? You'll fail the test because it doesn't work. So people tell you, well, you got to know the Greek in order to understand the depths of the Bible. No, that's not true. God gave us an English Bible in a language at the time that language was at its peak, and it tells you everything you need to know. It explains itself. It defines itself. And people say, oh, well, it's so archaic and hard to understand. I can't understand the these and the ye's. You know who says that? Not people in the pews so much, unless they've been told to say it, but people that have doctorates. Oh, you can't understand the thee and the ye. Well, let me just tell you thee and ye. Whether I've done it before, repetition is how you learn. Thee starts with a T and ye starts with a Y. How many of you didn't know that? Okay, see, you're already smart. Thee, thy, thine. You notice the T. Ye, you, yours. Notice the Y. Ye is plural. Thee is singular. I say unto thee. I say unto ye. So when you're studying your Bible, that's all it is. You say, well, I can't understand that because it doesn't say you. Well, what happens is in the Hebrew and the Greek, it distinguishes between the plural and the singular in the Hebrew and the Greek. So when it comes over into English, your Bible does the same thing as the Greek and the Hebrew, and it distinguishes between the singular and plural second person pronouns. How? Thee, thy, thine is singular. You, ye, and yours, just like the Greek, just like the Hebrew. So these guys that go, oh, the original languages, oh, it's the greatest thing. Okay. Well, then be true to the original languages. Why dumb it down and say, oh, we gotta talk. And by the way, you ever listen to anybody on the radio? I know hardly anybody ever does that anymore, but if you did and somebody was reading the Bible, you can tell if they're reading a King James Bible. Why? Because it sounds different. Shouldn't the Word of God sound a little bit different? Why do we think it needs to sound like a novel? Because we have been convinced that we can't understand it. Somebody was asking me about Rupert Murdoch today, he just brought him up at lunch. I said, well, you know who Rupert Murdoch is? He says, yeah, he owns Fox News. I said, yeah, he also owns Zondervan and Thomas Nelson Publishers. And I had my book there. I said, you know what else he owns? In the back of that big book, I had it with me because I had it with me last night. It was in the car and I gave him the copy of it because he said, how much does it cost? I said, look, I just give it to you. And I said, look here. He owns Avon Publishers. I said, not the Avon you know, but the Avon Publishers that published the Satanic Bible. Rupert Murdoch, the one that owns Fox, F-A-U-X, News. Some of you have figured that out lately. Listen, it's just to give you a semblance of a battle. Oh, they're battling for you. Some of them were. Some of them are. And most of them have enough money to stand their ground, but they'd rather have the accolades of man than to say, hey, you're wrong. I mean, unfortunately, that's where we are today. People that get to that level don't get there because they've got character. They get there because they can sell a story and bring in ratings. And that's what it's all about. So back to the D and the E. Your Bible's superior. Why dumb it down? Why take a Bible that doesn't distinguish that? And yet, you'll have, oh, the New King James. All they did was took out the these and ye's and put in you. Well, number one, that's not as good because sometimes it's important. Number two, that is not all they did. If you study the New King James, when it changes the King James, it follows the Alexandrian text, which is the corrupt text. All modern versions come from the Alexandrian text, which came from Alexandria, Egypt, where corruption came from. And then the King James comes from Antioch, or the Byzantine text. King James comes from one set of manuscripts. The New King James does too, unless they decided to change it. And when they change it, they follow the corrupt line that all the modern versions come from. And by the way, that's it. There's only two Bibles. There's the Byzantine text and the Alexandrian text. There's the King James Bible and all other versions. That's it. They're not 150 different versions, although they are all different. They all come from the same set of manuscripts. And again, I pointed out before, I'll say it again. How do you get a copyright on 150 different versions of the Bible? You have to have enough differences between the two. And yet, when you see the changes, they will always have the same changes, meaning they'll leave out Matthew 18:11. He that believeth on me, John 6:47, on me is gone. So it just says, he that believes has everlasting life. Acts 8:36, when the Ethiopian eunuch says, what doth hinder me to be baptized? The next verse is gone. He never says, well, if you believe with all your heart, Jesus Christ, and he says, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That verse is completely gone. Lucifer's not in the modern versions. You know what it says instead of Lucifer? It says the morning star. You know who the bright morning star is according to Revelation 22:16? It's Jesus Christ. So Lucifer isn't in there anymore. The morning star is the one that fell from heaven. Who fell from heaven? The morning star. Who's that? Jesus. What's the imposter going to say? Well, he's the morning star. Look, he is the fake one. I'm the real one. You say, I've never heard anybody say that. Stick around if you want after the rapture, you'll hear it. That's where it's heading. This thing is, it's like boiling a frog. Whatever, I never have. But you turn up the water slowly. That's the saying. You turn up the water slowly. You don't throw him into a boiling pot of water. He's going to jump right out. That is man. That is Satan's modus operandi. What does he do? He just slowly cooks your brain until you ain't got nothing left. See, that was really educated. I threw that word ain't in there just to make sure I impressed you. Look at verse 41. 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Wow. Can you imagine how they felt when they listened to Jesus say, you guys are talking about Moses, you're bragging about that, the manna. Oh, I am the bread that came down from heaven. That's why they sought to kill him. See, you have to understand something about the Jews. And people said, oh, they're wrong for trying. If Jesus said, I am God, meaning if he said, I'm the Son of God, he's saying I'm God because they're equal. The Jews knew that. That's why they wanted to kill him. So when he said that, they're actually following their law. That if a man claims to be God, he deserves to die. Now the problem is that their heart wasn't right. They're worried about losing their position. They killed him for envy. Not just because he truly broke their law. And he didn't break their law. Again, because if it's true, it's not breaking the law. And they should have known their Bible enough to know all the prophecy that surrounded Jesus Christ was fulfilled in Him. But they didn't. Why? Envy blinded them. Look at verse 51. He goes on, he says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Man, look at that. I'm the true light, the true bread from heaven, the true vine, the bread of God, the bread of life. That bread of life, I am the bread which came down from heaven, and I am the living bread. What an amazing, amazing truth about Jesus Christ. Now I will go a little bit further. Look at his typology. In John 6:31, go ahead and look at that again. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now that takes place in Exodus 16. So go ahead and look at Exodus 16. He's the heavenly bread, as was manna. So when he said that, they understood what he was talking about. In Exodus 16:4, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. How many laws do you think you need to show you're a lawbreaker? Just one. Go collect bread and only collect one day. Well, I don't know. There's a lot of bread out there. I better just collect some for tomorrow. What happened? It rotted. Why? Because God said, go collect one day, and that's all I'm going to preserve it is one day. What happened the day before the Sabbath? Go collect 2 days. Wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. How can it last for 2 days, the day before the Sabbath and the Sabbath day, if it rotted before? That's how good God is. We underestimate Him. So we think God is like us, and this is our problem. We put God in this human box, and we say God has to be like this because that's the way we are, and we don't understand anything out of that box. But if you really hone it in and realize, listen, God can do anything. God can, there is nothing that limits God. And so can God provide for you during COVID? What about if it lasts another year? Can God take care of you? Sure He can. Our struggle is with faith. Their struggle is with faith. Why did He give them a food that was only going to last one day? To prove them. You know why you have things come in your life? To prove you. Because you don't know who you are until you know who you are. How do you know who you are? Well, God puts something in your life. You react to it. And do you react to it in faith? Or do you react to it with lack of faith? And that's the difference in life. Look at another verse in 14 in Exodus 16. Look at 14. And when the dew that lay was gone up, so the dew covered the ground, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, they're the ones named it. It is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. They went out and they said, what is that? It's manna. And they named it, and then God, for then on, called it manna. That's how good God is. You never know how God's going to use you to determine anything else in life. I mean, we sometimes get so narrow-minded, so out of focus, we don't think God is still at work like He is here. But He is at work like that. Maybe all this stuff on COVID. Now listen, I'm telling you, if you've tried to order anything, I hear there are cars, and I hadn't ordered a car. I hear there are cars up there in Detroit that are sitting there waiting for a part. And they can't put the cars out. You know where I bet that part comes from? Probably comes from China. Now, why would China do that? Because who they are, communists, and we forgot. Remember Russia? You know, they're the communists. China. Oh, they're the communists. What in the world? They want to control the world. Some have said about 5G, I don't know. Listen, I'm not going to get rid of my cell phone. I'm just not, because I found out that people actually need to call me. And if you try to call me at the church, you might not, you know, get hold of me for a while. I'm going to keep my cell phone, but the cell phone is probably the worst thing you can have on your body, let alone all that stuff they're putting through it. You know, probably, you know, there's people that got brain cancer from cell phones. And they're all made in China. You get a cell phone. Why? Because there's probably a lot of money being made in China on cell phones. But I believe they're trying to destroy the world economy. And guess what? They already have. And then you got people coming in going, let's stop the pipeline. Keystone Pipeline. 100,000 jobs gone. Let's raise the minimum wage and we'll help a million people and put 1.5 million out of work. Yeah. They're going to raise tax. The gas prices are going to go up. Listen, what do you do? Yeah, they already are. What do you do? I got my car out here. I guess I don't get gas, but once a month right now, because it's sure in a long way in between the house and the church. I try to go as many times as I can. I got those things on the car that are tracking me, and I got two insulin cells on my truck still. I got 22% discount. Judy's car's got no incidences, but she's only in her fifth or sixth day, and I'm driving it most of the time. She's got 25%. So, but you can check how many miles you go, and I'm like, boy, and over 2 months, I did less than 300 miles in my truck. 150 a month? Goodness. So look at another one. Go back to, or I tell you what, look at Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Remember he said it wasn't sent by Moses, but by God? That was in John 6:32. Jesus saith them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Now, there are Jews back then that thought, well, this is Moses' bread. It wasn't Moses' bread, it was from God. So Psalm 78:22 defines it. He says, because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation, though He had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. Look at all that descriptive terminology. He commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven. Now, imagine that if you can visualize it. What did He do? Did he part the clouds, open heaven, and then just manna came raining down, if you were actually able to see it? But He also said He'd given them the corn of heaven. He gave them angels' food. Who knew that angels had food? But I guess the manna's angels' food. I don't know. He sent them meat to the full. Listen, He can fill you up. But sometimes He'll let you go because you need to learn a lesson. One more thing, I think. Yeah, let's look at the pictures of the incarnation. In John 6:33, He said the bread of God. But I want you, turn to John. Because I need you to look at a couple. Look at John 6:33. For the bread of God is He, notice He, which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And then look at John 3:13. Speaking about Jesus Christ, he says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Notice that says, which is in heaven. That's missing all the modern versions, by the way. So while the Son of Man was down here, where was he? He was also in heaven. You ever think about what it says about us? We're seated together in heavenly places. How is that? I don't know. We're seated together in heavenly places. While you're walking on this earth, you're seated in heaven. Figure that out. Look at Galatians 4. Galatians 4. And with this one, I'll close. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. When the fullness of time was come, He sent forth His Son. What an amazing, amazing God we serve. He's the bread of life. He's the living bread. He's the true bread. He's the true bread from heaven, the true light, the true vine. That bread of God, that is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. Just pray, Lord, that you would guide, lead, and help us to live for thee. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Was thinking about it. The girls usually leave, so why don't we go ahead and do Miss Millie's thing now, and then we'll do the business meeting. All right. If you're concerned about getting too close to people, and some of you are and should be, yeah, wear a mask. It's fine. Wear two masks if you need to. I wonder if that's because of Fauci. Yeah.